What is going on, everybody? Happy Friday. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I basically wait all week for Friday at 3:30 because I am joined by my good friend and yours, Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media, for a little segment that we like to call What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin, trying to send everybody off into the weekend with a wee bit of good news. Terry, welcome back to the show. Thanks for making time.
Absolutely, Maggie. Here for you and everyone to try to, as you said, tell you something good. How about that?
Yes, indeed. So what good things do you have to share with us this afternoon?
How do you feel about a nap?
Oh, I need a nap. We just had a sleep expert on today. I think everybody should get nap time. We're all, frankly, sleep deprived. Tell me more about naps.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, 80% of adults say they've taken at least one nap in the last 3 months. I kind of don't believe that number, but hey, it's from a survey. I think it's higher than that. And of course, you probably talked about daylight saving time on Sunday. So there goes that hour that we would like to keep,
yep.
Right? But appropriately, the day after on Monday, it's that nice unofficial holiday called National Napping Day. I love this.
That's fabulous. I didn't know there was such a thing.
I talked with Dr. Stephen Gale. He is a sleep expert as well. He is from Prevea Health in Northeast Wisconsin. And he knows a lot about napping. He works with a lot of patients on napping and sleep and just trying to get your body back in some kind of a circadian rhythm. So here is what he tells me about napping.
Napping is a very interesting thing. I have a hard time separating napping from our normal sleep. When you look at the amount of sleep we get at night, ideally we shoot for about 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Many of us fall dramatically short of that, unfortunately. When that happens, you know, we build up sleep debt. We fall behind in our sleep. And naps can be a useful way to catch back up on that rejuvenating sleep. There's been some data that's shown over time, relatively short duration nap, 20, 30 minutes at most, can actually be quite beneficial in people for feeling more rested and rejuvenated to get through your day. And some studies have shown some benefits in terms of cardiovascular health long term, which is a wonderful thing for those that like to get a little afternoon siesta.
I'm all for
it. I'll take an afternoon siesta at any time.
I am all for it. Listen, when I was lucky enough to do a little studying abroad when I was in college, the happiest people that I came across were Spaniards and Italians, and they were literally businesses 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. They'd open back up at 6 o'clock, but they were closed in the afternoon. Everybody took a little break. I'm all for it. Very happy. Very happy people.
How have we not learned at this point? And do you know, now you sort of mentioned it, Maggie, but do you know the perfect time if you're going to take a nap? There's an ultimate time to do it. Do you know what it is?
I hope it's not between the hours of 2 and 4 p.m. because everybody needs to be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show.
I'm sorry.
It's 2
to 3.
It's 2 to... Dang! Dang! 2 to 3 p.m.
Well, you know, maybe they'll lay down and put some earbuds in and listen to your soothing voice.
Yeah, but some days soothing, other days hair on fire, excited, Maggie, if I could speak about myself in the third person. That doesn't surprise me, though, the 2 to 3 p.m. slot. It's kind of when we all get the afternoon nods.
Absolutely. And again, he said 20 to 30 minutes, so I'm just going to say, enjoy that unofficial holiday on Monday and take a nap. Don't feel bad about it. And if you want to read more or you want to hear that entire interview that I did with the doctor, it's on our website right now at civicmedia.us.
I love that, Terry. I have to share with you and everybody that's listening at home or on the road. I was a litigator for many years, and it is a very very not sleep oriented kind of job. When you're ramping up for trials, you will pull multiple all nighters. The longest I was ever awake was 50 hours, which was like, I thought I was kind of losing my mind. I say all of this to say, because I was generally working around 12 hours, that was like an average day. I would be in the office for about 12 to 13 hours. Other days longer than that. But what ended up happening, particularly in extremely busy periods of time where also my sleep was getting disrupted because you would think of, I should ask this witness this question on cross-exam. I better wake up and write that down. I slept with a notepad next to my bed. But what I ended up having to do was exactly what you're talking about. I had to take about a 20-minute nap on some days when I could feel that my brain was not working.
Yeah.
And I would ask one of my colleagues or one of the paralegals, someone, hey, are you going to be around? I would literally, like a child, I wouldn't even lay down. I'd just sit at my desk, put my head down on my desk, and I'd knock out. I could fall. It's like, that's how tired I was. And then folks would come in and wake me up 20 minutes later. It was a lifesaver in many regards just to get that small little tiny brain rejuvenation break.
Well, and you heard the doctor say that even that little break like you were taking, that can be good for your physical health, your mental health, and you don't think about how everything really does tie together. So mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I wish it was more of a part of our culture. I know, like in Japan, you can rent out space in businesses basically sell rented space for napping in the middle of the day. It would be so, I think, helpful to our overall wellness if we accommodated this more in our workplaces. I really appreciate the story, especially as we spring forward. Folks, do not forget, set your clocks an hour ahead when you go to bed on Sunday night and probably try to start adjusting, as these experts would tell you, a little bit before then. Maybe get up a little earlier tomorrow and Sunday morning.
No, good luck with that.
Yeah, on the weekend. Boo. What else you got for us, Terry?
Well, I want to talk to you about something that I know is near and dear to our hearts and hopefully many other people as well. You know, we're doing a series of stories on the air about Wisconsin trailblazers for Women's History Month. And you just did a story about Trisha Zunker. Trisha is a current Ho-Chunk leader. She is a justice on the court there. And I love that she's from the Wausau area and the first Native American to run for Congress. But in doing this research, Maggie, here's one of my favorite stories. Tell me if you've heard about her before, because I had not. So I'm so glad I know about her now. Dickie Chappelle from Milwaukee, one of the first female war correspondents. And this was during World War II and Korea. Her editors, she worked for both Life magazine and National Geographic. They called her one of the most respected reporters of her time. She was 40 when she came back to Wisconsin to learn how to parachute. So guess why she did this? This is amazing. She again makes history because she's the first woman asked by the Pentagon to, now that she knows how to parachute, she's going to jump into combat with our American troops to report on it. Here's where I get bummed out, because all the amazing things she did, she ends up on an assignment in Vietnam. It's 1965. And of course, as we've heard in our history of the Vietnam War, she ended up dying when she stepped on a landmine while, again, on assignment. And again, makes history. She is the first journalist, whether male or female, to die in action. Wow. I don't care. What an inspiring story. I have goosebumps just talking about her.
Absolutely, Terry. Can you tell us more about where we can find your reporting and summaries of some of these remarkable women in Wisconsin history?
Absolutely. Listen for them on air all month long. We've got about 6 to 8 different stories of these Wisconsin women that will be rotating on all of the Civic Media radio network stations. So listen there, because it's fun to hear it that way. But you can also find a write-up, you know, just a small write-up, just to give you a flair for what these women were about and are still about, and what they bring to the history and why they've made such a difference for all of us in Wisconsin. That again on the website, civicmedia.us.
Are you doing anything special to celebrate Women's History Month personally, Terry? I always make an effort to basically get together with some of my female friends that I think in their own right and in their own ways are helping to make history. We usually do a ladies' brunch sometime in the month of March. That's my way of saying thanks and celebrating women who I often think don't get nearly enough credit for the impact that they're having.
Oh, I love that idea. I may borrow your idea and see if I can do the same. I've got some friends that without them in my life and the ways they've inspired me and so many others, and you kind of forget to say thank you for that. And I love what you're doing. Doing a brunch to celebrate sounds perfect.
Well, and it's also, I think, as women, there are so many that get overlooked that are in ways quiet leaders, quieter contributors that are getting things done in large communities and small ones, and trying to take those moments to be together, especially the women who, I think there's so many in every community that have these massive impacts, but aren't the elected officials, right? Don't get all of the sort of high visibility praise that we need to elevate and lift up. I'll call out one right now as long as we're talking about it. Her name's Kathleen Wojcik. She is a music teacher and help leads a group of young people in a small organization called Music Makers. I was in Music Makers when I was in grade school. They've been around for that long. And Kathleen has always worked in public schools, teaching music, bringing kids from all different kinds of backgrounds together, sharing her love of music. She's a multi-instrument musician herself. And people that help to stand up where we don't see as much funding in our public schools going to music programs. So I just want to give a hat tip to my good friend, whom I've known for many years, Kathleen Wojcik.
May I do the same?
Please, Terry.
I just found out last night the first female news director I had when I worked in Green Bay many, many years ago is retiring after 30-plus years as a very fearless leader. And if you can consider, you know, back 30 years ago, there were a lot of men at the helm, and she was not afraid to take control. She also led us through the change of, we were an NBC station that became one of the first Fox affiliates, but there wasn't a national Fox. Nobody knew what this Fox thing was, but we had the Packers. So that's all anybody cared. And I'm so proud to have said that I worked with her, I worked for her. And I was excited to see that she's retiring and has all these plans already. So congratulations, Julie Beeler. You have made such a difference for so many journalists.
What I'd say, news directors in general, even these days, overwhelmingly male, being in media for the first time as my full-time profession, it's still very male-dominated. And so to you and my senior producer, Jamie, and so many women across this industry and within our own company here at Civic Media that have helped lay the foundation for someone like me in a second phase of my career to enter the field, and the support that you and Jamie and all of the women who have come before us in media, I wouldn't be here without you. So thanks to you, Terry. You're a history maker in your own right. I appreciate you.
And same for you.
Folks, we'll be right back with some final thoughts on the week. You want to share anything? Maybe lift up a historic woman that might not get the credit that she deserves? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Something.